Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
What's poppin', everybody? Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
That's me, Ben. You know what I was just thinking?
What were you just thinking?
Is that, so this, like, there are weird moments in our life where you and I will arrive at, like, the same situation over and over, and, like, we will use the same phrases to check with each other that we're ready for something.
Yeah.
Like,
okay.
It's often when we're about to film something and we're like just running through the checks. So like when we sit down for this one of us will inevitably ask the other one, are you ready? And no matter what, it turns into the SpongeBob SquarePants theme song.
Almost like without fail.
It cannot be avoided at all. And then the other one is whenever we're sitting down on the main set to do a Super Carlin Brothers video, like the person behind the camera's job is to make sure that both the recording button on the camera has been pressed and appropriately and that the light turns red and that the button on the audio recording from the microphone has been pressed appropriately and it turns red and there's batteries and everything's running appropriately. And we'll always say like double reds.
Yeah, we're like all reds.
All reds. And it always turns into the scene from Ocean's 11 where Brad Pitt's character Rusty is like teaching like celebrities how to play poker.
Yes. You're exactly right. And so it's like the celebrity has no idea what his hand is. It's just all of his cards happen to be a shade of red.
Right.
So it's like, yeah.
Right. He thinks he's got a flush. He doesn't understand what a flush is.
Right. Because it has to be like all diamonds or all hearts, but not like.
You don't want to raise. You want to fold.
The other one we do though is the, is just like Roland.
Rolling. Yeah.
It always reminds me of Schitt's Creek where they like Eugene Levy's character is always like Roland.
Right.
Like, you know, he's like the mayor of the town.
Roland.
Or there's alternatively the like they see me rolling. Yep. Like the chameleon air.
Yep. Yeah. Or I will sometimes I don't think this is even from anything, but I'll just like, you know, be like, you know, rolling on one, rolling on two, but I'll always say like rolling, and then I'll rhyme it in my head with Danger Dolan, which is just like I don't even know if he still makes videos, but it was a YouTube channel that just did like lists of things. It'd be like top 10 biggest holes in the world. Welcome to Danger Dolan. And it was like, the cadence just lines up so well with like rolling, Danger Dolan. Like, doesn't make sense. Doesn't apply at all. It wasn't even a thing from the video.
Yeah. Well, I think the hilarious thing about this is that like our like brotherhood relationship, I feel like at times can be defined by these exact kinds of moments, because literally even the like hey brother that we start every episode with comes from Arrested Development.
Yes.
Where Buster Bluth like always addresses all of his family members as like hey brother, like
yes.
Or, well, I just said it in the Super Carlin Brothers voice. It's more like Well, I
hey, brother.
Hey, brother.
Yeah.
And so when we were in college and, you know, like would hang out a lot, like on the weekends, or we did Chili Night for a really long time and we'd watch the TV show Heroes.
Ugh,
like
great show. Mostly was, after, yeah, for the first season.
Yeah, for the first season. First season was great. Yeah. One of those shows that I think the writer's strike hit season two, which was that like a...
Different writer's strike. From the past.
From the past, yep. And then it was sort of like hard to like pick up the pieces from there or whatever. But yeah, like, so the end result though, was that you and I would be on the phone with each other quite a bit and we would watch Arrested Development and liked it. And so like every time you like would call one another, like we would answer the phone and just say like, hey brother, you know, and it was like, that was like, yeah, like long before Super Carlin Brothers ever became a thing. That was something we just, that was like how we addressed each other.
Yes, exactly. And then even the sign off, see you in another life, brother, is from the show Lost.
Yeah.
Which it was like Desmond's catchphrase on the show.
Yes, which is always one of those like funny ones where it, like the see you in another life, brother, like when we started saying it, it was closer to when like Lost had aired and seemed very obvious. But like I almost wonder now if anybody's ever like gone back and watched the show Lost and heard Desmond say it and be like, wait, that's the thing from the thing. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
It is the thing from the thing. Mm-hmm. Well, we got the thing from that thing.
We got the thing from that thing.
Yeah. We borrowed it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here it is.
And it's
stuck.
I know. Which is kind of funny. The other one, of course, then this is less related, but is the fact that we still refer to it as the towel section.
Oh yes, the towel section.
You know, it's like it has been actually like years and years and years since the origination point of this particular
you know,
like piece. But basically you made the video 42 uses for a towel off of
Hitchhiker's Guide for the Galaxy.
Yep, exactly.
Where yes, the towel is the most useful thing in the universe and 42 is the answer to everything.
Yes, exactly. But so if you're looking at us in the screen in the comment section down below, the towel section or the comment section exists like at like our waistline, where which you can't otherwise see. So you can just imagine that we're recording everything all the time in towel.
Right. That's where you would wear a towel.
Yes.
So it's the towel section.
The towel section.
Yes. And to the and now, because we had so few viewers at the point, like at the time when we started doing it, everyone thought it was funny because it was the same 300 people watching every day and they were all in on the joke. And then the numbers on the channel just exploded and towel section suddenly didn't mean anything to anyone because the content that it came from was not what the channel was about anymore. And
I know
it's just sort of one of those things that evolves over time. Even this pop. Well, this is honestly, we were just saying this on the show, but it turns out there is a character on Community whose like catchphrase was like pop.
Okay. So that's a big one to clarify because that is not a reference. And I have watched Community since the creation of the pop and the physical sign that sits behind us that says those adjoining words.
Yes.
So that one, despite the fact that I do enjoy the show Community, is in no way, shape, or form a reference. It just is a coincidence.
Yes, just happens to be a thing.
Yes, it does indeed. So anyway, so that's our, I don't know how we really got into this, but if you wanted to know what it's like to be a fly on the wall, we basically say the same things to each other every single day.
It's just weird because it's like, I would have no reason to think about Danger Dolan at all on a weekly basis.
Right.
But it's like, for some reason, it's like, because it rhymes with a thing I say every week, that it continues to be in my brain.
Right. Yeah. It keeps being like floated back to the surface in a way that is otherwise it should have just like faded into.
Yeah. She was like, oh yeah, that should just be gone.
Yeah. Wherever Bing Bong is.
Exactly. Wherever Bing Bong is, that's probably where Danger Dolan would have been. But now he's part of my routine camera check.
There you go.
Whoever you are.
Yes. Yeah, but shout out.
Yeah.
So other thing that I think was kind of funny was we do this podcast where like we've talked a lot in the past how it's like our 1 hour to like really sit down. Like we don't have our phones on. It's just like a very dedicated time to have the discussion back and forth with one another about just like whatever's going on.
Yeah.
But what I thought was funny just this past weekend was that we went on a ski weekend trip with our younger brother Tyler.
We did.
And he was driving in. He's on the other side of the state from us. And so he was driving in separate, but you and I drove up together. And so like we're in the car together, you know, for like an hour and 45 minutes on our way from where we live to the mountains and everything.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, this is going to be weird. Like, it's like, what does the conversation like look like when we're just like, okay, we're about to have the same length of conversation.
Yep.
Approximately. Mm-hmm. However, now we're just in the car.
Yeah, now we're just in the car. Yeah, we're just going to have to find things to talk about without worrying about whether or not it's possibly entertaining to other people listening.
Yeah. So what is the end result? So, I think we were like pulling out of like our like downtown parking lot area. And as we were doing so, I feel like that thought flitted through my brain a little bit. It was like, should we have brought the microphones just in case?
We're just recording on the drive. Carlin Brothers on their popcorn on the road.
Popcorn on the road. Yeah. That would be so much fun. So if we ever have our tour, our multi-state national,
right.
Tour, whatever.
Welcome to the popcorn culch tour. No, it doesn't sound that great.
The word culch.
Yeah. Culch. Popcorn. In other words, it's culture.
Culture. The popcorn culture. That's not good either. Yeah.
Popcorn culture tour. If you just say a popcorn culture tour, it sounds like you missed one.
Yeah. But it's too bad because the wordplay feels like it's right there.
I know.
Like it should be doable.
I know, right? We'll find it.
We'll find it. It must be there somewhere. Mm-hmm. But anyway, yeah. So if we ever do that tour, we're just out on the road. We'll have our.
Yeah, we'll just do a recording from the road.
Just recording from the road. It's like a podcast that's outside. It's a podcast and it's outside.
There we are.
That's the whole premise.
Yep.
So anyway, we did go on a ski weekend though, which was our return to the mountain after 2 years mm-hmm. away. And one of the things that I thought to be kind of interesting about it is there's the classic phrase, like it's like riding a bike, and it's kind of one of those where, I assume what that means is that like you never, this is the obvious interpretation. You just never forget. Like once you know how to ride a bike, you just always have it.
Yeah.
So you can always pick it right back up. But like, what does baffle me a little bit was like going up there, I'm like, man, it's been a while. Like we're also getting older. The idea of like falling seems like a lot worse than it used to. Yeah. Like, it's like, I think for a while, like in my like early to mid 20s, especially like when we were skiing a lot, season passes and stuff like that, I was like, I think I'm at an age, like I'm probably not going to be like really, really good, but I was like, I still think I could go enough to get quite good. Mm-hmm. And I feel like maybe there's a piece of me that's like, maybe at this point in time, my goal is to just maintain the level of good I already am.
Right.
Just in perpetuity and for always.
Right.
But as as you're going up there and you're like, it's been 2 years. And the last time we went, we went for like 1.25 days, we didn't have like a ton of reps or anything like that. And then before that, it had been like 2 years since we went or whatever. So it's like, what is this going to be like? Do we still have it, right. every time? And then you get out there and, you're strapping your boots in and you're staring down the mountain. And I'm like not intimidated by the space around me, but I'm like, it occurs to me I could stand up from strapping my board onto my legs and just promptly fall right over.
Right.
Which is pretty much the experience of every single person who ever straps into a snowboard for the first time.
Yeah.
It's like you stand up, you realize it's a little slippery and there's no way to move your feet. And it's like, wow, that's an incredibly jarring experience. It's
right.
Like, 'cause when you're normally slipping, the idea is to like move your foot in the direction to support yourself.
Right.
And when you're on a snowboard, you're just stuck.
No, you can't. No, you just gotta fall.
It's like a piece of like your mental programming that you just have to like put into a bag and then smash with a hammer a bunch of times mm-hmm. and just be like, let go of that forever.
Stop it.
Yeah, stop it. Which makes me very susceptible to falling over now. So, it's because I forgot to.
Right. Now, if you're leaning the wrong way, you're just like, don't worry, I'll catch it on the board. Wait.
No. Now I'm down. Okay. Like so I'm prone to spontaneous falling overs.
Well, that is, I think, your daughter's favorite game to play with me is just like come over and like just. Like from a standing position, just like fall on her butt and be like, I fell over. I fell over.
I fell down. Yeah. Fell down. Yeah, I know. She, and I don't know really where it came from or why she started doing this particular activity, but like, if you can imagine like jumping on a trampoline and like jumping real high up in the air and doing like a butt bomb, so to speak.
Yeah.
It's like she's doing that onto hardwood floors.
Right. Yeah.
And you're just like, every time she does it, I feel like my teeth get like a mechanical feeling.
Yeah.
And I feel like my spine curls a little bit. It's just like, It's like brute force impact landing on your like flat butt,
right?
With all that force just radiating through your skull,
right?
You know, that's what I feel every time I watch it. She seems to be fine.
Yeah, she's totally fine.
Utterly unfazed, if not maybe like pretty stoked about it.
Yeah, I know. She's like, that was the funniest thing that's ever happened. Let me do it again.
I'm gonna stand right back up and keep going. I fear for the day where the line has been met, where it will have become painful, or like if she's out of diapers and has like considerably less padding, you know, between herself and the ground, and she's like, ooh, that wasn't fun.
Right. Ouch.
But how did you feel getting out to the mountain, the return?
I mean, I felt really good. I always love skiing. And like, it's as soon as there's always this moment where like the first time I've clipped in after like a year, it's always just like we're back. And it's just like, yes, I love being here. I love being on the skis. I feel like it normally just all sort of comes back right away.
I was
a little worried because this seems like it always happens too. But like in the week leading up, I had a new workout routine. Like we're going to be skiing on Saturday, and I had a new leg routine for Wednesday. And boy, did it just tear me a new one. I mean, yes. It was hard. And I was walking around all day Thursday and Friday just like, oh my gosh, my legs hurt so bad. This is going to be the worst. Because like the number one thing about skiing is that like, I mean, you're like in like a wall sit without the wall. You're just going down the mountain the whole time.
Yeah.
And so I was like, man, I am going to be burning alive at the bottom of the slopes. And like there were certainly times where I would get to the bottom and I would stand up and I could finally like unflex my legs and I would be like, I'm on fire. This is like, it is like I bet if you touched me, it would be like 100 degrees.
Yes, yeah. So when you say I'm on fire, you're not thinking like, wow, now that was a heck of a run. No. Like I am on fire.
I mean, like my legs are like, I can tell they are physically warm, like with the effort of going down the mountain, which is not new to, you know, like my present age or something. You know, that would be how I would feel when, you know, we'd go in your 20s and we'd go down Cup Run at Snowshoe. And by the end of the slope, I'd just be like, I'm not going to be able to stand. And then you get to the top of the ski lift and you're like, I'm fine. Everything's great. I'm fully recovered. And then you get 2 minutes down the slope and you're like, I can't move.
Yes.
It hurts.
It does.
But you just need like a little, you need to get your mountain legs, you know?
You gotta get your mountain legs.
So it really wasn't a big deal at all. And I it does always surprise me. I'm like, it just comes right back. It's just like, bam. And you're right. It's like, I don't think I'm at a point where I'm like, yeah, I'm really trying to improve my form and get better at skiing. It's like, I'm pretty much as good as I think I'm ever going to be, lest we for some reason end up moving to like Colorado and I find myself in a situation where I'm skiing multiple times a week for months on end.
Yes. Yeah.
Just for, you know, for pleasure.
Right.
And, but it's like one of those where we go so infrequently where I feel like if I took lessons, I bet I could get better.
Oh, true. Like, yeah. Like with some coaching.
Yeah. It occurs to me, certainly there is tons of room for improvement. But we're up there so infrequently and it's like, do I want to spend half a day doing this or just sort of like, it's not like I'm not having fun in the meantime.
Right. You know? Yeah. Well, I think the thing that's funny for me is like, I'll oftentimes get up and I'll realize right away. It's like, oh, okay. Like you are actually still comfortable. Like all of this is still in your mental programming. Like, you know, you have all the rules, all the patterns and everything. Like it's all still there. And then I'll have this like wave as I'm like going through and I'll like, you know, be like making like little cuts and stuff as like, we're getting down to the bottom of the first, like usually like a bunny slope that gets you to the lift that can then take you to the slopes you actually want to ride or whatever. And like, I'll have this like little like wave of imposter syndrome where I'm like, well, you're cutting way too hard right now. It's like, let's be real, Ben, you haven't been on this thing in 2 years. Mm-hmm. Like you don't have any business cutting like the way you're cutting. It's like, but I'm also doing it and everything is fine. And I don't feel even remotely uncomfortable. And it's like, It's not imposter syndrome. It's just like, or maybe it is imposter syndrome, but it's like there's skill underneath the fear that there isn't.
You can do it.
You can do hard things.
Right, exactly.
Like this thing. So yeah, that was cool. That was fun.
Yeah, skiing was really fun. It was like somewhat not great conditions, I would say. Like we were going up there and, you know, when we booked the trip, it was like, we are in the smack dab middle of February. It's good. Like I've lived in Virginia my whole life and this is cold time.
Right.
Like it's going to be freezing. And it was like, no, it's like 60 degrees and raining, which is not tremendous skiing weather, in case you're wondering.
Yeah. Not the best.
Yeah. It creates sort of like a mashed potato-y type of snow that you're skiing in,
which is just so thick and
heavy. It is very thick. It's sometimes like you'll go to turn and it's like your skis will like just caught a scoop of taters in them and you're like, oh, hold on, let me pull that through here. Then you're fine. So we were semi-limited. It had also, I guess, because it had just sort of been warmer, like there weren't as many slopes open. So we were at Wintergreen and there were maybe like one or two slopes we were sort of relegated to for the weekend. But
as were, it felt like, most of the people. Other skiers yeah. on the mountain. Yeah. So this is like one of those things. I was kind of describing it to the office this morning, but like, I think normally you're able to, like build yourself up to like, you know, if you can go down the Black Diamonds, you have like company around you that is like also capable of going down the Black Diamonds.
Right, yeah.
And the end result is a far more like you're in a more challenging environment, but the other people around you are also much more predictable.
Right. Like they like if you're going down, then you typically like know what you're doing on skis and you know like mountain etiquette and stuff, and you're not out of control for the most part.
And for the most part, there's usually not like a ski school of like 14 children all like, you know, simultaneously snaking their way down the mountain in giant sweeping turns.
Yeah. As it were, like the one like black we had access to was fairly patchy at spots. And there were like to the point where like there were certain spots where I was like, yeah, everyone's going to have to bottleneck through this like 4-6 foot passage.
Yes.
Right here. And then it'll open up a little bit more, but you're going to want to dodge that section. And this is kind of covered in ice. So it was like you could go do it and you could have fun doing it, but it wasn't like, you know, you couldn't just ride that particular slope the way you would typically, the way you wanted to. You were sort of forced into certain sections.
Yes.
And stuff. Yes. So that was all right. And then in the meantime, we were just on a nice, good long blue where you could pick up some speed and you could have some fun and go back and forth and, you know, cut and turn and all that. But sure enough, that's also where like the ski schools were. And
yes,
you know, sometimes you get to the bottom and it's like, there's a pretty long little slow zone there and there's people of varying skill and some people are just, they're just out of control and, you know, it's not their fault they cut you off. They're just, they're just, you know, trying to not fall.
And, right. Yeah.
But ultimately really fun. Loved being back on the skis. That was a blast.
It was a lot of fun. I feel like it almost like brought the like itch back to me a little bit. But then the other big thing for me was that I feel like I woke up this weekend and I was like, man, I got to have so much fun this weekend that I'm like, it was such a like odd kind of realization to like have dawn on you.
Yeah.
But it was like, you know what? I could totally do a bunch of stuff like extra stuff today because I got to have so much fun over the weekend. And because I had all of that much fun, now I don't mind doing some of these other tasks that I'm like less interested in doing. Mm-hmm. I can be more proactive on these fronts. I can go ahead and knock out some of those tasks that I've been putting off. And I was like, wait a second, should I be doing more things that are more fun more often? Like, is this probably.
Yeah,
I think it's the hardest thing for me to do in everyday life is prioritizing like enjoyment,
right?
Which sounds kind of depressing and sad and like, but like, you know, it becomes so a part of like your everyday like sort of mental routine, like where you're going to be, when you're going to be there, who you're going to be with, like, you know, you're kind of like slating out your expectations. But I think a lot of that can oftentimes then mean that like you're not carving time for just pure recreational fun and enjoyment.
Right.
So I found it to be quite the revitalizing weekend.
Well, that's fantastic. Glad to hear that. Yeah, it sounds like maybe you need to schedule in some more fun into your life in general.
Dude, why is it like do you struggle to know what you think will be fun?
I don't think so.
No.
No, not
like,
really.
Because this is like, I think I fear boredom most often just because I'm like, oh boy, I don't know what I want to do. Like, I remember as a kid, I used to like go in and like mom would be like, you know, doing something, you know, like in the kitchen or like tinkering with something or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm like, Mom, I'm bored. Mm-hmm. And she'd be like, well, you could go for a walk. I'm like, I don't want to go for a walk. She's like, well, you could go play on the swing set. I'm like, I don't want to go play on the swing set. You
right. know,
like it was like any idea she could think of was always like not the thing
right.
that like I wanted to do. And I oftentimes think that this is like what happens at like 2 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon. It's like, what do I do with myself?
I know. I think sometimes I'll get to the point, like what can be difficult for me is that sometimes I got like in my regular, just like, living life, I'll be, you know, I'll go, you know, break down a box that came in the mail and I go like throw it in the garage and I'll like notice like, oh, there's a big old pile of cardboard out here or something.
gonna have to go to those dumpster holes.
I'm gonna have to go to my dumb dumpster holes at some point. And you know, but it's like in the moment, I'm like, I know this is a thing I need to do eventually. It's clearly right now is not the moment, but it does need to be done at some point. But then like roll around. Yeah. Like, yeah, 2 o'clock on Sunday. It's sort of like, all right, I've got some free time. The kids are like down for naps or quiet time. And Beth is just chilling on the couch and I have nothing to do. And it's like, it's like part of me is like so bad. Like I just want to go like sit down and like play some video games or, you know, just whatever.
Yeah.
You know, but
yeah.
Then I'm also like, but now you keep putting off this task of like breaking down the cardboard. And now that you've got some free time, now would probably be a good time to do that.
Yes.
Like for some reason, there's like certain chores that it's like, it doesn't seem like, well, even cause like, even it's not like I'm not doing other chores, you know, it's like the trash fills up. It's like, yeah, I gotta go take the trash out. It's like, no one would be like, well, now's not really a good time to do that. Cause we're in the middle of other things.
Right.
You know, but it's yes. like for some reason, this kind of task is like it's not like sorry, I can't help right now. I'm doing this, which has to be done. I'm breaking down the cardboard. So, and it just sort of gets like this, like, it's like an extracurricular chore or something. It's like, it's not a chore that has to be done at any point. It just eventually you should do it.
Right. Right. Yeah. Otherwise
for convenience sake,
otherwise the garage would just slowly become like a giant pile of cardboard.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And I don't know what the line is between like the like extracurricular chore versus like, no, you need to do it right now kind of chore.
Yeah. So this is probably like the pockets of time that I oftentimes find myself in where like, I think I am at my best when like, the scheduled free time is such that it completely removes me away from any additional tasks that need to be done.
Yeah.
Like I think probably part of the problem for me is that this in some way means that like my home is not necessarily the best environment for me to have fun inside of.
Right.
Because almost always it'll be like let's say there's even like a 1 hour swath of time. It's like, okay, I got like a hole here.
Yeah.
Like Addie's down for a nap. Allie is doing something important to her. You know, it's like, okay, I have an hour. I could do something fun. But before I have fun, I should probably pick up like the entire living room, wipe down the countertops and take out the trash.
Right.
And then it's like,
because otherwise, like what, you know, I might come back and Alice will be like, well, geez, did you have fun out there doing that? Because it's a disaster in here.
Yeah, precisely. Right. It's like I gotta be like one step ahead of that potential outcome.
Right.
But then there's like sort of this other thing that can happen where like I think like I don't know, like whenever I've made like automotive upgrades or something like that, it's like my vehicle, which I don't do that many of, but mm-hmm. like, you know, it's like one of those things where sometimes you'll add like one shiny new part and then all of a sudden you're like, huh. Now that I added the shiny new part, all the old parts look kind of old, mm-hmm. you know, and then you're sort of like, I should probably like fix those too. Right.
Right.
But the same is also true for cleaning where it's like, okay, so I cleaned, you know, the living room, dining room, kitchen area, which in my house is all sort of like connected. There's not like a lot of, you know, so it's like they all sort of like are treated as like one big open space area.
Yeah.
But then like on the peripherals of those, I've got like a downstairs bathroom and like my laundry room / pantry area. And or like the stairs themselves, because the stairs, I don't know if this happens in your house, but they end up being like a landing zone for like, oh yeah, for the past 3 days we took our shoes off and then we like put them on the stairs and then we wore other shoes and then those shoes also needed to be put on the stairs. And so now there's like jackets and shoes and other miscellaneous items from Addie's bedroom that have been like taken downstairs that are now here.
You right. know, they, yeah.
It's becoming a pile.
We have a shoe basket. So,
oh, there you go.
Yeah.
That's smart.
Yeah.
But yeah, so like a lot of times what'll happen happen to be like, you know, you go and clean the living room and you're like, but I can see the dining room. The dining room's still kind of a mess. So I'll clean that. And then you clean the dining room and you're like, ah, but then the kitchen, you know, there's like still stuff on the counter. It's like, I'll clean those. And then you're sort of like, ah, man, well, while I'm over here, may as well like tidy up the laundry room, you know? And they're like, so it just goes from like one thing to the other. It's like once one space is clean, the nearby adjoining space being dirty, it's like, well, now that's unacceptable. Yeah. It was fine before when the other space was also dirty because they sort of matched.
Right. Yeah.
They were like, they were both equally filthy.
Right.
But I can't like leave like a pile of filth when I just cleaned everything else over, you know, right, over
like,
here.
Come on. I was like, I was in the zone. Why didn't I just finish the zone?
Right. Maybe this will like lead, you know how like open concept houses have been like a thing for such a long period of time.
Yeah.
The genuine curiosity in my mind is whether or not like walls are going to like return as like extremely in.
Right.
It's like, there is nothing better than division of spaces. It's like, you don't need your living room, dining room / kitchen to all be like one big like, you know, like whatever. It's like, yeah, that's not good for anybody. Right. Wall
How
that
distracting
stuff up.
Yeah. Is it when you're making dinner that the kids are in the, basically the same room?
Exactly. Yeah. Right. It's like, put a wall between you.
Put a wall. What you want is like, you need a separation of space. You need boundaries in your house. You know?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I can totally see this coming back and people are like, they'll walk in and be like, open concept. Ugh. So first of all, put up a wall here.
What is this? Like the mid-20-teens? Like,
I know.
Man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But there's going to be shiplap and then in there it is.
There's the shiplap.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. We knew it was coming.
And you're looking at the floors and it's just like everyone was so determined to walk around in these like hardwood floors, like put a carpet down. You know?
Man, that hurts. That hurts to think about. I'm a big fan of hardwood floors myself.
You know what? I am a fan of hardwood floors in certain rooms of the house.
I'm fairly certain. Yeah. That we've discussed and possibly disagree on this because you like a carpeted bedroom.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like, because then it's soft and you're barefoot in there all the time.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Yeah.
It's true. It just also feels like an accumulation space for filth.
But I don't know. I have a carpeted bedroom and that's just not true.
You know, it's an accumulation that filth I'm going to call culch.
It's a throwback
to earlier.
That's where the culch comes in.
That's like the stuff that lives in your carpet. Culch.
No, I enjoy carpet the carpeted. Mulch. I enjoy carpeted bedrooms. I think bedrooms should be carpeted.
Wow.
Yeah.
You heard it here first.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Now, this is the interesting thing is that what my wife wants to do or has brought up before is that on top of the carpet, but under the bed should also be a rug.
Oh, right. I see.
Like this like helps like tie the room together and which like I don't even like. Like, I don't have a problem with, from like a decorator standpoint, I have a problem with the very idea that I'm going to like get out of bed and have to experience the shift in like step on the edge of the rug.
The drop off.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't want to have to experience the drop off like zone because it feels like absolute ankle roll zone.
Two,
like that space between the bed and the wall being all like so open, like right now it's nice flat, everything is open about it, and it's like this is going to be a line right down the middle of that space.
How thick do you think carpets are that you're going to be rolling your ankle?
The rugs, Ben.
The rug. Yeah, that's what I mean.
There's a variation. Foot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to even have to feel that under my bare foot, that there's a level drop off.
I got you.
It's like, it's so unappealing to me. Like, I don't like it at all.
This is hilarious. But I think that I don't think I have very many like, feelings about like my direct interaction with the floor. I don't think that ever really is something that I contemplate.
That's because you have hardwood floors.
Which is the superior floor, therefore
no.
You never have to worry about it.
No, because you're just so used to it being terrible underfoot. You don't know that there could be better. You haven't experienced the truth.
There you go. All right, well, I'll just leave it that way then.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, do it.
Yeah.
Your bedroom sounds amazing.
Culch-free environment.
Culch-free. Sounds like free of everything except a bed.
Yeah.
From what I've heard you say.
No, it is. That's the other problem too. So, because Alice also likes like an area rug to go underneath the bed. Mm-hmm. And it's like one of those things where the big, big, big problem is the sheer size of the bed. There is no way to physically like, you know, in like our downstairs, for example, if we wanted to put a rug under our dining room table where there is one, like you can physically pick up the dining room table, carry it into a different room so that you can like move and reposition the rug in like every which way that you would like to. But like in order to put a rug underneath our bed,
yeah,
you would have to like disassemble the bed,
yeah,
like move the mattress, like which is so heavy and dense and awkward and large. You'd have to like slide it into like the upstairs hallway.
Yes.
So that you have the ability to like put anything underneath.
This is
it.
Also part of my like resistance to the rug is that like part of me is like, you know what, it might be worth, maybe I'm wrong, maybe it won't be such like a such a tripping hazard,
yeah,
and it's like I'd be willing to try it, but even the act of trying it will require so much effort to, yeah, like I feel like I would need like a team of people there to like lift the bed so we could like roll the rug under real quick and then, you know, like have it set up. And it's like, what if we go to all that effort and then I'm right about the rug and I hate it?
Oh.
Then I have to redo it in reverse.
Redo the whole, bring the team back. In reverse.
Bring them back, man.
Yeah. You almost need like a pulley system that can like physically lift the whole bed all at once, like off of the ground so that you can then like interact in the space underneath.
Yeah.
Which would like open up so much room for, you know.
Yeah.
Like a pickup game of basketball or something, you know, mm-hmm. lots of space all of a sudden.
Yep.
Yeah. Or we could go straight Murphy bed.
Yeah.
You know, and just build it right into the wall so you could just like sling that thing down as needed.
Boom.
On command bed.
On command bed. Yeah. Right. How much room would I have in my room if I just had a Murphy bed?
Man.
That'd be amazing.
I don't know what life would be like in a permanent Murphy bed situation where I would like wake up every morning, make my bed, and then like close it into the wall.
Oh man, it's probably, I feel like it's mostly like city living kind of situations.
Yes.
Yeah.
What is Murphy bed like? I'd be curious, or Murphy bed life like? I'd be curious if anybody listening right now is like, I do a Murphy bed every day. It's
normally it's like the reason you have a Murphy bed is like as a space saving thing.
Yes, of course.
Right. Yeah. But it's like, this is one of those things where it's like, well, people normally do it for saving space. So like, if you don't need to save the space, why would you do it? But it's like, you know, in regular homes, it's not part of it. You just have a freestanding bed.
Right.
It's like, is there not some like logic to like, well, but what if you could have like, what if you don't, even though you don't need to save space, it doesn't mean you couldn't save that space.
Right.
Like, yeah. Couldn't, don't you still stand to benefit from the extra space of your bed being hidden during the day?
Yeah.
Or something? Like, I don't know that I would. I don't know, like, what I would set up in the middle of my bedroom if my bed just folded into the wall, but, or if it would just feel more open or something.
Well, you know, the biggest thing to me is that, like, when we had, not even really when we had Addie, but, like, then shortly after, like, when we eventually needed to, like, put baby gates because she was crawling,
yeah,
like, to like, close off, like, the stairs and everything,
yeah,
is that underneath our bed is, like, the zone where all dog hair goes to live.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, we have Indy and Chewy in the house, and they both shed a lot. And so it's, like, one of these things where, like, forever, my least favorite part, because our bedroom is so small that, like, all underneath our bed is like built in, like we bought a bed that specifically has like built in under bed storage,
yeah,
which is like my closet,
yeah,
effectively. So there's all these like really big drawers, which also means you don't have regular access underneath the bed. That means that like once every like, I don't know, 2-3 months, you go through and you pull each of these giant drawers out to discover just like a truly horrifying sight,
man.
Like more cults than you ever wanted to see.
More cults.
Yeah. And so in a perfect world, I would love a scenario where I was able to just like, again, you know, have my bed go completely away so I could just regularly clean this particular space. And I used to think that it was because the dogs had the ability to come upstairs and, you know, subsequently like sleep on the bed during the day while we were at work or whatever. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they were like leaving dog hair, but now they're not even allowed upstairs at all, and it's still all up there.
Man.
I'm like, I don't know where this is even coming from.
Oh,
is it just trudging all around us?
Dander floats to the top.
Apparently.
Dander lands on top.
Yeah, there you go. That's like the parody of Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes.
Snow lands on top.
Yeah, I like it.
Obviously not.
Yeah. No, not so much. Anyway, that's probably enough dust conversation for one day.
You think
we properly covered it?
I think we have probably, just like dust.
Yeah.
Properly
yeah.
covered.
Yeah. Transition?
Transition.
Transition. popcorn culture is supported by Arena Club.
Okay, so you guys know that I love trading card games and that me and Ben are big time collectors of Pokemon cards. You know, it's that childhood fantasy of finally being able to use adult money to buy those highly coveted rares of our youth. And like, even in our office, we have not one, but two full display cases with some of our all-time favorite rarest cards that we've pulled. But something I did not know existed when I was a kid in my youth was the grading process for trading cards or sports cards or whatever you're collecting. You know, to me, it was just like a rare Charizard is a rare Charizard. Like, it doesn't matter if it's been hanging out in my pocket with my lucky paperclip. Turns out it does matter, and kind of a lot, because if you get your cards professionally graded, it can add huge value. And then not only that, but once they're graded, they will like seal them in that pristine condition inside of a plastic case, or what's known in the industry as a slab. And that's where Arena Club steps in, because it's like buying a booster pack, but it's for a pre-graded card. Now, I know that can take like maybe a second to wrap your head around, because you're opening physical cards on a digital platform, which means you open the pack online and see your pulls where they can be added to your showroom for the world to see, but you can also request them to be sent to you at any time. So they have got a ton of pre-graded cards, and then you will get to randomly open one, and then they'll keep it for you, or they can send it to you, or you can just like sell it or trade it online or whatever you want to do. But whether you're buying, selling, trading, or displaying, Arena Club is the card collecting platform you have got to check out. And right now, you can get 10% off your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/poppop, which, wow, that is a crazy offer. 10% off a $400 slab pack. That's like $40 right there. Anyway, that's arenaclub.com/poppop for 10% off your first purchase.
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Shopify. Y'all are likely aware of the fact that we have our very own Shopify store, Carlin Brothers Mercantile, and it's hard to imagine not having it now, but arriving at the decision to open our own web store was a big one. In fact, we started our journey on the interweb back in 2012 and didn't finally open up shop until 2018. And a huge part of that is just not knowing where to start, but that's where Shopify steps in. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business, which is a fancy way of saying it's a really easy and effective way to start an online business, no matter if you're operating out of your garage or have like a whole building or three or something. Once we were set up, our biggest concern was trying a new product, only to discover no one was interested in it. But Shopify is powered with so many reports, more than you can even imagine. And this is so handy because it allows us to use data to better provide what folks are actually interested in. It's so easy to use, but even if you do find yourself caught in a jam, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Sign up for a $1 per month trial at shopify.com/poppop. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/poppop now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/poppop.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Okay, Ben, so back at ski weekend.
Oh, we're back. Yeah,
yeah, okay, we're back. Sure. Yeah, we sort of veered away there to talk about the downfall of rugs.
Yeah.
What I found hilarious about this weekend was the like stark and hilarious contrast in the amount of stuff that was required for just you, me, and Tyler.
It was like, extremely funny.
I mean,
yes,
like it could not have been more like, well, definitely a bunch of dudes planned this.
But in a way that I would say has like not been true about the way that I would go about coordinating trips under any circumstances for the entirety of like trips that I have ever planned ever.
Yeah.
But like, this is like one of those situations where we're leaving work like after work on Friday to drive up and basically get, you know, like kind of evening hours arrival where we will then be effectively outside of the home skiing all day Saturday to then wake up Sunday, grab some breakfast and drive back home. So like, it's not a highly like elaborate set of things that need solving, especially because you're otherwise at a resort that has restaurants and food.
Right.
But like typically when I would go on trips, I would go through and like, you know, get all the necessary groceries to like stock a fridge and have all these like fun vacation only kinds of like specialty occasion snacks and like whatever. And this was like, it was kind of the funniest thing ever. Like, we left work, we went to like the nearby grocery store, we spent like $45 on like, you know, bananas, cereal,
half a gallon of milk,
a bag of chips, a tube of toothpaste,
right,
and like maybe a few other like a case of water,
right,
some like oddments,
right,
you know. And so like we get up there, we're like, all right, get all the groceries inside. It's like, I was like, two bags.
Yeah, so, I think so.
Pretty much got it all. So we did not have like very high requirements for anything that we needed to like do. Basically didn't need to pack that much clothes at all.
I know, it was just like mostly just gonna ski for like one day and then maybe the next morning.
Right.
So just has like, you know, and you know, we're basically, you needed like, and you have ski pants and the ski pants are the same.
Yeah.
So it's like you just need different like base layer and then everything else on top of that's going to be the same.
Right.
Yeah. Yes. I was like, okay, so got all that.
Yeah. Yeah. But like, it's almost the type of trip that I could have packed for by using a single plastic grocery bag.
Right.
You
know, you like, know, I was like, I probably didn't need to go grocery shopping. I could have just grabbed like a bag of cereal or a box of cereal from my pantry at home.
Yes. Right. You know, It's like, yeah. If we tried really hard, we probably could have like just scrounged together enough crap to eat for a few days.
I know, that's basically what it was. I was like, I feel like we go on all these like family trips and, you know, you'll get there and like all of a sudden like the entire countertop would be full of like snacks and chips and things and
like pouches, know, for the kids.
Pouches and yeah, the fridge is loaded and you're like, well, man, there's, you know, there's not a whole lot of room left. And it was like, I remember we like unpacked and like looking at the counter and it's like, there's some bananas, there's a box of cereal, Tyler brought some pasta, so I guess we're pretty much set for the weekend. You know,
we will physically survive.
But that was basically it. It was just such, it was honestly like sort of like liberating as well.
It was
the amount of stuff you don't need when you're not bringing kids was amazing.
Yes.
You know,
but like in a way that I think was so alternative. And this is what I mean too, because like I would say growing up, mom did a really nice job of making travel like the time when we got to have like some of these treats that were like a little bit more reserved for these particular occasions.
Right.
You know, so it was like we would go to the beach and mom would have gone to like, you know, Sam's Club and bought like fun things that we never have at home. And so then as I like, for me personally, as I aged into adulthood and started going on some of these trips for the first time, it's like, I'm sort of like taking the leaf from mom's book and being like, this is what it means. Like now I get to go do it and like find whatever fun things that are like the trip specific treats and whatever. And now like I'm super excited about that. And so that for a long time was sort of like what it felt like to be an adult to me. It was like, I'm planning my own trips, I'm booking my own accommodations, and I'm bringing all of my own like things and like, you know, setting all my own reservations like once we're there. And you know, it's kind of like, it's so cool to be an adult. Like,
yeah,
I get to do all the stuff.
Yeah.
Then you go through the process of having kids, traveling with like the ever expanding family, you know, which is just getting bigger and bigger. And like, you know, you're with that, it's like, well, now we have to be feeding 15 people, and that is more food than any of us is ever used to seeing in one place at one time.
Right.
Not to mention like the various like pack and plays that are essential, and like sound machines and baby monitors and all the accompanying like diapers and wipes. And I mean, you could have a pack list a mile long.
Yeah.
You know, even for a trip where you're using like carry on luggage or something, and it's like, you just got to get super strategic or sit on the suitcase or,
right,
you know,
yeah,
it's like, it's all that type of stuff. So you're exactly right. Yeah. This was like the first time where I was like, I am not going to force this at all. Like, I don't think that we will suffer at any point. We'll have more than enough and we'll just sustain on whatever we've got. And
I know, it was like, it was just sort of funny. Cause it's like, if you've ever like, sometimes like even, I'll be packing for a trip and it'll be like, you know, like when we went to Ethan, the editor's wedding, it was sort of like, well, I need the suit for tonight. And that's pretty much what I'm going to wear. And then I'll have like, I don't know, clothes to drive home in tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, I had like, you
sweatpants.
I know. It was like, well, I'm wearing what I'm wearing right now. And tomorrow I've got like, they're like, you know, yes, sweatpants and a t-shirt, and the suit is in this garment bag. So it's like, I guess I'll, should I bring any more options, or like, is there a possibility we hang out at the hotel when we come back? Maybe I'll bring something for that. I don't know. You know, it's like, and you get there and you end up bringing more stuff. Cause you're like, well, I guess otherwise there's only two things in my suitcase.
Right.
You know, and this was just like the opposite. It was like, yeah, I didn't actually need to bring four shirts to that wedding because right, I was going to be there for one day.
One night.
Yep. Yeah. One yep. night. So it was, it just sort of felt like it felt like a trip where we had the boldness to actually only bring what you needed.
Yeah.
You know,
go us.
I know. It was like even at night, it was like, you know, like I, you're right. In other trips, even on other trips where it might've been the three of us, it might've been like, oh yeah, everyone brought like two bags of chips or whatever. It was like, you know, realistically, are the three of us going to eat more than a bag of Doritos tonight? And it's like, nope. So
yeah,
we have
yeah,
a
yeah.
bag of Doritos. And it's like, and we finished them and we were satisfied. Great. You know,
done.
You're right.
The other thing that I found truly remarkable about this trip is that like we didn't, you know, we got to the end of like our big Saturday day of skiing and we're all like, you know, we went to like a restaurant to eat. We all got these like amazing chili cheese bacon burgers yeah. and stuff like that. So where it was like, it was kind of fun because we all like sit down, we all wanted the same exact item off the menu. So we're like, you know, even that was incredibly efficient. It's like, yep, we'll have these drinks and we'll have three of the exact same thing and that's it.
Yep, you there know? You go.
Like, boom.
Bring them out.
Yeah. And we did, and they were good. So, you know, we get back to the cabin though, or the condo rather, and like, we're just sort of like looking for whatever entertainment we're going to have that evening. And so, you know, we like pop on, like we don't have like a smart device or anything.
Right.
Like it's like, you know, watch any of the streaming services. So we're like literally watching cable.
Yeah.
Where on ugh. TV we find like Shang-Chi is going off
yeah.
and The Eternals is up next. And,
yeah.
You know, I think The Eternals is all a movie that they're all of us were sort of like, meh. Like,
yeah.
You
well,
know,
that was, you know, it happened.
And that was a Marvel made that, you know, so yeah, there's
apparently
there's,
these people are part of the MCU. We haven't heard from them again, but
yeah, they seem important.
They've been here the whole time.
Quite literally, yeah. but it was, even that was something where I was like, when I first saw Eternals in theaters, I was operating in this like post Infinity Saga Endgame Marvel environment where we were about to be like told about these like super historic, very powerful, like, you know, superheroes that all have this like massive connection to these otherworldly powers that are stronger than anything we've ever seen before. And you're like, oh boy, we're about to get some plot right now. Mm-hmm. We are going to be shown the future of, you know, one of the most like massive scale projects, whatever, you know, and you go to the theaters and you watch it and you're sort of like, I don't really know what I just saw, nor how it will affect Captain America and Iron Man.
Right.
You know, yeah. It's like, okay, there was that, you know, so like you have those expectations. Then you have the expectations where it's three brothers who are exhausted from a day of skiing, full up on bacon, chili cheeseburgers, mm-hmm. and plop down on a couch with a bag of Doritos.
Yeah.
Watching The what? Eternals.
With commercials.
Yeah. And I'm like, man, I'm so engaged right now.
Yeah, man.
Like, it's like, I can't believe I've ever doubted this film for all of its glory. And it's like, it's because my expectations, everything about how I was viewing it, was it's like the context had changed so entirely.
Right.
And even that, it was just sort of like, the three of us have not historically had that many opportunities to go on like trips where it's just the three of us.
I mean, it was the first time. It was just the three of us.
Right. Because otherwise, you know, we would have grown up always going as like our family of five with our parents. And then we, you know, got out of college and had our relationships. So then if we went on trips, it was usually with our significant others.
Yeah.
And then we had kids. And so then when you go, it's with all of them. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, this has never happened before, but it is also simultaneously just like tremendously glorious.
Yeah.
So just a proper lads holiday.
Good fun times watching the Eternals, or most of it. I mean, it's really long, especially with commercials.
And
it's skiing all day.
But. It just goes on forever. So yeah, at some point in time, I think
It's eternal.
It is eternal. I was enjoying it though. But so at some point in time, I feel like I was like, my eyes were like, sort of like fluttering shut on me, like where they're doing that thing where you're like, they close a couple of times and you're like spring yourself back open. And then you're like, ooh, how long was I out for just now? So I popped up and I was like, all right, well, I'm going to bed. And I look at both of you guys, and you're both like half lids.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, we're all there. We're all on the same page. It's like
all time to sleep.
And that's the best part about having extremely low stakes going into a movie viewing scenario, is that one, you enjoy it more. Two, you don't really care if you just walk away from it.
Right.
Which we did. And we went to sleep, and then we woke up early and had coffee.
Exactly. Fantastic.
Good times.
Finished off. Had a bowl of cereal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have one too.
Yeah. Nice.
Your Raisin Bran Crunch.
Raisin Bran Crunch, the best cereal.
That was the other thing too, is that I was like, we're walking through the aisle and you're like, well, I normally get Raisin Bran Crunch. And I know that we've talked about this before on the pot before. And this was another one of those moments in terms of preparation where I was like, I don't particularly like Raisin Bran Crunch, but I'm definitely not bringing two boxes of cereal.
Yeah. Let me tell you what we're not going to finish is two whole boxes of cereal.
Yeah. So I was like, well, I guess I'll just eat it and it'll be fine.
Yeah.
And it was.
Yeah. Yeah. Was it glorious? Did it life changing?
No,
I would say cereal.
I would say it was fine. I prefer the crunch than the sort of like softer texture of the included raisins.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what you need. You need variety in textures in cereal.
Yeah. I think the raisins in my mind just overwhelm or take away from all available what was supposed to be crunch.
No, man, the raisins are the essence of the crunch.
They're like padding for crunch. They take everything that made crunch good.
Oh man, I love Raisin Bran Crunch. It's my favorite. And I'm the only one in my house who eats it, so we get like a big box and it just lasts forever.
Something tells me that this reminds me of you and a good buddy John ordering onion pizza in college, mm-hmm. where it would be like the very basic premise, because I know we've told this one before too, is that like everybody at college parties inevitably is like, we should order pizza. And then there's always sort of like, but who wants to be the fool that actually has to like call it in, and even worse, use their card, because almost certainly people aren't going to pay you back.
And people are like, I got some money, I'll give you. And then you don't get that money.
Yeah. And then there's the, then like, you know, the pizzas arrive usually
like 2 hours later, because every party in the greater county area had the same idea.
Exactly. Yep. And then you've got like 30 people there and like three pizzas.
Right.
And so it's like, wait a second, I just threw in like what, like $10 for this pizza? How much did everybody else throw in $10? Was it just me?
Mm-hmm.
Am I the one paying for these pizzas? And then all of a sudden one of them is onion. Mm-hmm. And nobody wants to eat the onion pizza.
Exactly.
And so there would be Jonathan and John with these like grins all over their face, just being like, ha,
we like the onion pizza.
So we were willing to place the order because now we get to eat it.
Exactly. Everyone else gets to have one slice of pizza because that many people here.
Right.
But no one wants the onion pizza, so we just split it.
More for us. At least half a pizza's
worth. It worked every time, man.
I know. But then, so now I feel like I can see you having your like your bizarre little safe haven in your home, which is that it's like, I like Raisin Bran Crunch. No one else likes Raisin Bran Crunch. This is all me time.
Oh, like, no. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind that at some point the children will come around.
You think so?
Oh, I think so. But it's like, it's also like, too, it is of no bother to me at this point. Like, if if everyone liked it, we'd just buy more of it, you know?
Oh, sure.
There's
sure,
not
sure.
like the, there's not this college problem where it's like, I'm about to be out $50 for one slice of pizza.
Yeah.
You know?
That's a good
like,
point.
If I want more Raisin Bran Crunch, I'll just go buy it, you know?
Okay. So there's no world where once the family adopts the Raisin Bran Crunch, you're not like, all of a sudden like, oh, kale and berries. It's dried kale.
No, absolutely not. No.
And wild berries from a tree outside.
No, I'm hard committed. And sometimes I'll walk through and I'll be like, have I just settled on this? Like did I just not experience enough other? And I'll like walk down the cereal aisle and I'll look at stuff and I'm like, no, this is all terrible. Why would you? I can't imagine a world where you choose any of these above Raisin Bran Crunch. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Have you never had a bowl of Fruity Pebbles?
I've had Fruity Pebbles, Ben. I've had Fruity Pebbles. I've had them all.
I mean, it's,
you know,
not,
we were cereal connoisseurs growing up.
We were cerealers.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, we were.
Man, I'll think back to that. Like, I'll wake up in the morning and like, I'll, you know, it can be a challenge to be like, you know, kids, what do you want for breakfast? Do you want cereal? I'll make you sausage. We'll do, you know, we've got this or that or whatever. And they're just like, no. And I'm like, here I am offering you up all these options. When I was a kid, all I had was cereal every day.
Yes, I know. Yeah.
Like, it wasn't like, what do you want for breakfast? Wasn't the question. It was, what cereal do you want?
What cereal do you
and
want?
And it's not, do you want breakfast? It's, what cereal do you want?
Yeah.
And it was so much more effective. Because all three of us ate cereal every day.
But we didn't really mind it. You know, I mean, it was.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We didn't mind.
Yeah. But see, now, so that was the thing, though. So, like, now as an adult, like, maybe this is what I need to do. So, you know how, like, Stanley from The Office, like, loves pretzel day?
Oh, man.
And it's like,
yeah.
You know, it's like, maybe what I need to do for myself is, like, once a month, have some type of food stuff where it's sort of like, it's like, only once a year do I permit myself the opportunity to have. No, as unlimited Fruity Pebbles as I want, but I'm only allowed to do so on like March 27th, you know? And then like next year rolls around and on March 27th, it's like, it's Fruity Pebbles day.
I don't know though, but like, why would you deprive yourself from it the rest of the time?
Probably the associated like digestive, you know, nightmare that is consuming that much sugar.
That much Fruity Pebbles. You know what isn't a digestive nightmare, Ben?
Yeah, I know. I
Raisin Bran Crunch, it's the best cereal. Look, yeah. You guys, look, people will argue and they'll go out and they'll like, I bet I've could maybe you listener will go out and try it and you'll be like, Jay, you're just wrong. But look, you're lying to yourself because you want to be right. And you're just not. Like, it just is the better cereal. You're welcome. Don't lie to yourself. Just enjoy it. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Whatever. We can.
Yeah.
That's fine.
People will buy, they'll be like, there shouldn't be raisins in cereal. And I'm like, look. It's a proven formula. They've been around forever. They've added crunch.
No, the thing I don't understand about cereal, and this is true, is that I don't know how grocery stores are able to sustain so many different, unique SKUs of different kinds of cereal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you walk down the cereal aisle, and there must be like 79 different kinds of cereal
right.
that you can buy, and it is like... It seems like they like some of them should have lost the war by now.
Right, exactly. Like, you're right.
Like, who is still buying this one? But there must be entire households that's like, that's our favorite one. It's like, is it really?
There's no way.
Yeah.
There's no way. And then there'll be like seasonal ones. We had like a Monster Mash cereal in my pantry for months. People didn't like it, turns out.
That's too bad. So you didn't eat it in the meantime?
No. Yeah, I didn't eat it either.
You didn't like it either?
No, I mean, no, I didn't. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it was just like glorified Lucky Charms, but not as good.
So, oh, okay.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah,
there you go. That makes sense. I can see that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear you guys out there with your Lucky Charms like, oh, no, it's definitely the best. It's not even close. I mean, not even close.
I wouldn't go to war for Lucky Charms. I'm trying to think of what I would go to war for.
Exactly, Ben.
I so rarely eat cereal, though.
Mm-hmm.
I would say it is not a frequent flyer in our household at all.
Well, but see, leading up to my smoothie revolution that is 2024.
Yeah, how's that going?
The resolution revolution. Yeah.
Okay, because you revolve. There's a revolution RPMs.
Yeah, smoothies are taking it back. They're taking breakfast back. It's a revolution.
You sound like a part of a cult. Like a really weird smoothie cult. Like door-to-door salesman, but like for smoothies. And I imagine you having like a really cool briefcase that like, it's like, can I borrow a plug? You know, I'm like,
open it up. There's just a bunch of full smoothies inside. No. Why are you carrying around drinks in that suitcase?
No, it's like, I think like there's almost like the pedestal part is in there. And like you pull out of like a soft velvet container, like the blender carafe that you then screw on into your briefcase smoothie container.
Yeah.
And then you've got like a variety of fruits and you go through and you make the smoothie right there on cue for the person. It's like, yeah. You too could have a briefcase smoothie.
I'm not selling briefcase smoothies. I'm not even selling it. I'm just smooth. I mean, they're fantastic breakfast.
It's the resolution revolution thing.
Exactly. Yeah.
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 You could tell people. Yeah. Are you ready to be revolutionized?
Revolutionized.
Resolved.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Join the revolution. Take back breakfast.
There you go. Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
It's your tagline.
It's going well. I had a smoothie this morning.
Okay.
Yeah. Mixed berry. Got the yogurt. Got the powder in there. Got the banana.
Yeah. Any type of like chai seeds or something.
Yeah,
chia seeds.
Yeah, I've got a pack of what I was doing like flaxseed and chia seeds, and now I've got like a bag of it just says super seeds, and it's a mixture of all the things you want in you know, seed based smoothie ingredients.
Sure.
Yeah, so now I just do two tablespoons of that and I'm set. You
does
know?
That come with the starter kit on the at the intro rate?
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Smoothie in a box.
Smoothie in a box.
Smoothie in a box.
Why is it in a box? Yeah. Oh man. Yeah. Actually, smoothie in a box is a pretty good name for it. I like it.
Exactly.
But the box is a leather briefcase.
Welcome to smoothie.box, my new website.
Oh man, the dot box is catching on.
Dot box. Yeah. That'd be great.
Yeah. Actually, this is a kind of interesting tangent that is not related at all to your new multi-level marketing scheme that you're definitely starting.
Smoothies are just good.
They are good.
As is Raisin Bran Crunch.
Well, you had to go there.
Not sponsored. But I was eating, that's what I was eating for breakfast before the smoothie revolution.
Okay, would you put a spoonful of Raisin Bran Crunch into your smoothie
ever?
It's
not a bad idea, although it doesn't seem like raisins would smooth well.
Yeah, they don't do many things well.
Yeah, except add delicious flavor to your crunch.
Raisins are an abomination.
They are not an abomination.
I'm
getting your daughter some raisins the next time I see her.
She's going to
love them. And there you go. There you go.
There is nothing I'm less interested in than raisins. It is such an unappealing.
At a New Year's party at your house, mind you, we were all enjoying a nice port together, were we not?
Why were we drinking?
Because one Mike of the GMA brought port to the party.
Yes.
Which everyone was raving about. Yeah. And which everyone was describing as tastes like raisins.
Okay. Well, raisin, the flavor of raisins isn't the problem I have with raisins. It's everything else to do with the raisin itself.
The flavor is the main thing. It's food.
It's an experience, and as an experience,
raisins are an experience. Yeah.
Again, this is 0 out of 5 stars. Flavor, I'll give it a 4.
How can the flavor not be part of the experience?
Well, it is, but the otherwise experience is so poor,
it's so bad
that it's rating it so low. I can't. And don't
not that I eat raisins by themselves really that often, but like if I had a handful of trail mix or something, I would keep the raisins before like the peanuts.
Are you here to tell me that you also like oatmeal raisin cookies?
Absolutely, oatmeal goodness raisin gracious cookies. Those are fantastic.
Goodness gracious!
Yeah, really good.
Man, just such a disappointing experience because not only are you now having to subject yourself to raisins, but also not subjecting yourself to chocolate chips.
Yeah, well, I mean, I can see where if you thought you were going in for a chocolate chip cookie,
why would you ever not think it was going to be a chocolate chip cookie when they look so much like chocolate chips?
Ben, oats do not look like chocolate chip cookies.
Why? I mean, I would be completely fine. Why? I don't like, let's see here. I don't even know why you don't include oats into chocolate chip cookies.
You could.
Like that is something that feels like an unsung market or something. Yeah, you know?
There is like a, why don't you put oats in chocolate chip cookies and why don't you put chocolate chips into oatmeal raisin cookies?
Yeah.
Or why isn't it just oatmeal chocolate chip cookies?
Yes. Right. Yes. Now we're cooking. Well, I think with
those
gas
exist.
Yeah. Okay.
Those exist. Okay. But I mean, Not, I don't think everything is improved by raisins.
Sounds like you do.
Like, I don't enjoy like a cinnamon raisin bagel. That's a hard pass.
Okay, good.
You don't need to add chewy things to an already chewy product.
You don't need to add chewy things to any kind of product.
Yes.
Shy of its primary function being its chewability.
What about gum, Ben?
Okay. You know what? I will give raisins some presence in gum as long as it's primarily gum and not at all raisins.
You know, I've never experienced raisin flavored gum. That would be
probably for good reason. That's because
That's because you would never like degrade the raisin to the point of like the lowly chewing gum.
Right. Okay.
You
know,
it is an elevated luxury product for. Port.
Okay. Here's the thing. So gum is a prime. This is an excellent example. Gum itself, not something that anybody would be like, no, abhorrent. I don't want anything to do with this slice of gum. But what is your relationship with chewed gum?
With what?
Gum that has been chewed.
Oh.
And you are now discovering it in a location.
Well, that's been in someone's mouth.
But you know what it looks exactly like?
If you're going to say raisin, it certainly
looks like a raisin.
It does not look like a raisin.
Looks just like a raisin.
How are you chewing gum? And what kind of dark purple, black, soulless gum are you chewing?
Okay, well, to be fair, it looks like a pink raisin.
Yeah.
You know, or like a white raisin.
Like a craisin or something?
Like a green raisin.
Craisins suck.
Yeah. Now we're finding common ground. Hey, this is how arguments should take place. Like, can you imagine if we were in the comment section on Facebook right now?
Oh, man.
And we've been going back and forth through this whole dialogue, and you come at me with craisins suck, and I'm like, now we're getting
now we're
somewhere, friend.
All right, let's go.
Did we just become best friends?
It's not called Crazy Brand Crunch, Ben.
For a reason.
For a reason.
A good reason.
Yeah.
Wow. Arch nemesis of the popcorn kernel is
the craisin. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You might think craisins and raisins would be in the same camp, but they're not. They're mortal enemies.
Man. So if you're the antithesis of us, you should create a podcast called Craisin Culture.
Oh, man.
Oh, it sounds so dreadful.
It does. Yeah.
And just rather unpleasant.
No, yeah, I'm not here for the craisins.
It's the general mouthfeel.
Right, yeah. I mean, they have a worse mouthfeel than raisins, for sure. They're more sticky.
More sticky.
And less chewy.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. So this is an interesting string to tug on, is that there actually is so do craisins get stuck in your teeth and that's the issue?
Well, they get stuck in your teeth, and also you might, sorry, what, I eat a craisin over here?
Sounds
slam.
Like
also, they taste like cranberries, which is not my favorite.
Not a fan of cranberries or spiders.
I remember there is a fun fact about spiders and cranberries.
There is. Yeah. I think that they use spiders in the cranberry fields as a way to prevent other things from eating the cranberries, because the spiders don't eat the cranberries, but they will eat the other things.
They'll eat the other things.
And then when they flood the cranberry field in order to go and harvest them, they're just spiders floating.
They're just full spiders everywhere.
Spiders are everywhere.
So whenever you're eating a cranberry, just know that there was probably a spider touching it at some point.
Yeah. Enjoy that thought.
Same goes for craisins, obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, I would say it's a texture and a flavor thing. I don't despise all cranberry flavored things, but they are a tart creature.
There you go. Well, I didn't expect that feud was going to happen, but it was something that I actually felt like I was able to step neatly into your arena about strong opinions about weak things.
Yeah.
And it was sort of like, okay, this is kind of fun. Like I'll go to war over this. No problem. Like, right. It doesn't matter at all.
It
no consequences. It's like someone from Big Raisin was listening, though. So we probably lost a viewer.
Yeah.
And they were like, I'm not here for this.
What is it? Sunbeam?
Is that the primary?
No, I don't even know. I can't even remember.
What's the red box?
What's the red box?
Sitting on it? It's like a sun
terrible
glowing.
Branding. Yeah. Is it Sunbeam? That's like the bread.
Sunbeam? Bread. Yeah. I think Sunbeam is bread.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't know. Then there was California Raisins. That was a thing for a while.
Mm, wow.
Don't know about them at all.
Good thing we gave up on that.
Yeah.
Probably
about that.
Chances are it's just super still out there.
Yeah.
That's okay, though. Mm. Either which way. Mm. Guys, thank you so much, as always, for tuning into this week's episode of The Pop. Be sure to let us know all of your thoughts on raisins and why they are the worst.
Or the best.
I don't think anybody's going to have that take.
Yeah, I'm not eating just spoonfuls of raisins over here ever. Like, just by themselves, they're a good mixer, you know?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, they're like ginger ale.
Do not bring my beloved ginger ale into this. Trying to compare ginger ale to raisins. It's like trying to compare like cheerfulness to like molten lava.
That's not that hard. There's a Pixar short where there is a delightful mountain spewing lava looking for love.
Dang it.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
It's like trying to compare I don't know.
Harder than you think, isn't it?
It is hard. It is hard. I can't think of two opposing things. North and south, they're opposing.
They are opposing. But if you go around long enough, one just becomes the other. So,
yeah. Okay. Is that how? I'm not even sure that that's how physics works. Anyway, all of your thoughts on raisins to popcornculturepod@gmail.com. Or if you would like to get in on the super cool 5-pin enamel pin set that we are going to be doing for the Q1 quarterly merch for Popcorn Culture. They're all going to be completely unique designs and only available in this particular capacity. You can do so by heading on over to patreon.com/popcornculture and selecting that quarterly merch tier. Mm-hmm. It really does help the show out a lot, and we super appreciate it in advance. You can check it out in the show notes or in the link in the description down below. But otherwise, until next time,
pop pop.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.